Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Here we sit on Christmas week, December the 22nd, heading toward Inauguration Day on January the 20th. A lot has to happen between now and then, including runoffs in Georgia. Are you worried about the situation, Alan?
David, I'm scared to death. I'll be honest with you. We do know a number of things about this president. And number one is that he has no bottom. Yesterday, we talked about it, and it's certainly worth talking about again. That there was a meeting in the White House in which the idea of bringing in the military and a martial law became a discussed item and apparently raised tremendous angst among the group, including some who know very well that if they get in on something like this and their time passes, they're going to end up in jail. So people like Mark Meadows and others have said, no, you can't do that. But the very fact that they had to say that, David, and that nutcases are being brought into the White House to espouse this kind of thing. It is literally beyond belief. And it also shows you, David, what the downside of a pardon can be. If you pardon somebody and they basically understand that they owe everything to you and come in and then they start talking about arming the military and taking over the government. So where are we? We do know that right now, the last thing that this president is engaged in is being president of the United States and solving the incredible problems that this country has right now, both with the virus and the mutant virus and the Russian hacking. This is not a president who is going to be on duty doing any of those things right now. What he is going to do is look at ways to save himself. And those ways may be so extraordinary that the Constitution will be at stake.
Here's one of them. On Monday, hosting a meeting, Trump met with lawmakers to discuss their strategy for the key date of January 6th, the day when Congress takes the final step in reaffirming Joe Biden's presidential victory. An Alabama Republican, Congressman Mo Brooks, says he organized the session with about a dozen House Republicans willing to challenge the results in several key states. Despite their efforts, Biden will be sworn in as president on January 20th, but the moves keep coming.
That's right. And we've discussed it many times. Will somebody who has worked their whole life to become a Republican United States Senator or a member of the House of Representatives be willing to keep the country from going into fascist totalitarian mode? That is something that we know is being discussed right now. So if you're a Republican, do you look in the mirror and say, I'm not going to do this. I don't care what it costs. There's a time when so many people have died for freedom in the United States, both in World War I, World War II, the Revolutionary War, and every other place. I'm not, for the sake of a cheap political job, going to sell out every principle I've ever had.
From one side of the news page to the other, where Congress has approved a $900 billion COVID relief bill, sending it to President Trump. It promises to deliver long-sought cash to businesses and individuals and resources to vaccinate a nation confronting a frightening surge in COVID-19 cases and deaths. And as we noted yesterday, a new variant that's isolated the UK. Simply not enough. Small business allies decry Congress's short-term fix. As we also pointed out yesterday, many, many people will be hurt and need more than what's even in this package.
Well, that's right, David. The lines for food, people like accountants and lawyers and people who never thought that they would have to get supplemental food for their families, but they are, and they are doing it right now, and the stories are coming in from all over the United States. Look, this COVID relief bill is the second largest relief bill that's ever been passed in the United States. Is it enough? No. Is it socialism to say we're going to save starving people and their families? No, it is socialism, all right. It is sharing. It is what this country is all about, and it ought to be done. When Biden comes in, obviously there'll be more coming. But right now, they negotiated to the last moment. And frankly, David, we don't know what's in it. There are some things that will help state and local governments, not what they wanted, not the huge amounts, but some things that are going to help. When the smoke clears, we'll know what all of these negotiations were about.
And how much of it will be pork?
David, there's always pork in government because that's the way the system works. We have single-member constituencies. We have governors telling the United States senators, you got to get me this or else. And they always look for something that will help them politically as well as something that the state may need. The problem with the government right now is that so much of the money that flows in it is inspired by lobbyists. And lobbyists work for rich people. They also work for unions and others, but they work for people who have a lot of money and who can inject that money into the system. And that means that the outcomes will be less than equitable. It may not be the poor people who are getting help, but those people who need it the least.
What about the Attorney General, William Barr, now undercutting President Trump on election and Hunter Biden inquiries? On Monday, he told the last news conference of his tenure that he saw no basis for having a special counsel for the tax investigation into the son of President-elect Joe Biden.
In the meantime, David, he's saying nice things about the president in his resignation letter. He has to do that. Look, this guy is gone in terms of what the American people and history will say about him. But there is some modicum of respectability that he is not playing this game with a clearly off-the-wall president who's asking for all kinds of things that he can't have, shouldn't have, won't have, and they will not give up. Look, you referenced this before, but just in the House of Representatives, there's one foolish man who's willing to stand up and question the election. In the Senate, it looks like they have at least one United States senator who's going to make all the other United States senators raise their hand. So Tommy Tuberville says, "I object." McConnell knows it. He already said it. That's going to mean that every one of those senators is going to have to vote one way or the other, up or down, on the fortunes of Donald Trump. And they don't want to do it, and I don't blame them. Nevertheless, they should do it. And I'm glad it's happening, because they're going to be held responsible for the way that hand goes.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, David. And watch out, everybody. There's black ice out there.